You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
So very good evening to everyone tuning in right now. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath, and delighted to say that for this week's show we are live at HQ here at Newmarket. We've got a great show to enjoy as well. We're going to be hearing from Michael Meir, the Trevor Hemmings Racing Manager, ahead of Fashentes and Vintage Clouds running the Scottish Grand National on Saturday. We're also speaking to Kevin Ryan as well. He's got Beyond the Clouds running in the Scottish Champion Hurdle on Saturday, plus a few runners elsewhere too. It'll be interesting to see what Kevin has to say. Tom Eaves also will be on the show. He'll be talking about Brando's victory this afternoon, again in the Group 3, the same Group 3 which he won 12 months ago. Also be hearing too from Richard Farhey. He's been on the score sheet this afternoon, plus he'll be telling us about his runners at Newbury on Saturday as well. And Jim McGrath will be giving us his tips for the weekend's action. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
So as I say, we are live here at Newmarket for the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath. It's a sun-drenched Newmarket as well. The weather is absolutely delightful this afternoon here at Suffolk. And delighted to say that Jim McGrath joins me as well. Jim, a very good evening to you. You know, only a few weeks ago, we had his scarves on his hats, his coats, because it was snowing. Fast forward a fortnight, and it's beautiful weather like this.
Officially, it's the hottest April day for 69 years, Bobby. And it's felt like it. It's been absolutely beautiful the 3 days here, and we've seen some cracking action.
We certainly have indeed. It's been a great day, and Jim, you've been here for the 3 days here at HQ. What have you thought to the Craven meeting?
I think it's been an absolutely cracking renewal. Obviously one or two abandonments leading up to this, and the fact that Newmarket produces, despite the conditions, ground better than you'd get anywhere else in the country and under such circumstances, has undoubtedly meant that we've had a lot of promising horses making their debuts, and there's been a lot to enthuse over.
Yeah, some Yorkshire winners along the way as well. Kevin Ryan being on the score sheet, so too Richard Farhey as well. Richard Farhey actually victorious in two races at this festival. Now, just as we are now, we've literally racing has just finished for the 2018 Craven Festival. We're just watching the parade ring now, just from where we're standing. We're just seeing the remaining winners come in there. Breath caught your 3-1 favour as it just won the final race on the card this afternoon at Newmarket. Now, we've just been talking to Jim there, you know, we've just been recapping the Craven meeting itself, but also there's a huge day of racing on Saturday up at Ayr. Last week it was the English Grand National Festival, this week it's the Scottish Grand National Festival. It gets underway tomorrow, and then also on Saturday with the big race itself, the Scottish Grand National. Now, do not go anywhere, because coming up very, very shortly, we are going to join by Michael Meir, who is the racing manager for Trevor Hemmings. Trevor's got Vicente, and also in the field he has got Vintage Cloud too. So we're hearing from Michael straight after this.
Every Wednesday evening, 6 till 8 p.m., you can join Ollie Holmes and Jai Hitchcock for the 6 till 8 debate, discussing anything and everything in the world of rugby league and beyond. And sometimes they bring the breaking news that you need to know.
3-year-old boy goes missing at Central Western Australia campsite, right? He's found 5 kilometres away the following day. He says, I found a kangaroo and I tried to ride it home. I'm not kidding, look this up. James Skillen disappeared from a campsite on a private property in Razorback, north of Bathurst. A search was launched at 7 p.m. 100-acre property is found 5 kilometres away.
He tried to ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's trying to ride the kangaroo, but that came out wrong.
All the big stories discussed on the 6 till 8 debate every Wednesday, 6 till 8 on Proper Sport, on Facebook Live, on the podcast, and of course on the website at propersport.uk.
The greatest radio duo since, well, no one. Ollie and Jai on the 6 till 8 debate.
The Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport.
Join me, Darren Harper and Sam Bridges every weekday morning right here on Proper Sport for the Big Sports Breakfast with some of the biggest names in sport, biggest sporting headlines and big tunes too. It's the only way to start your day on app, online, on Proper Sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast.
Sport, sport and more sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport. Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Welcome back to Newmarket here for the Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath, and delighted to say now we are going to be joined by our first guest here on the show, and that is the racing manager for Trevor Hemmings, Michael Mio. Michael, a very good evening to you. How are you? Are you keeping well?
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Not too bad at all. We're loving the weather here at Newmarket. Is the sun shining where you are as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Lovely day, yeah. Great.
Right, if we look ahead to the Scottish Grand National, Vicente for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davis. For your boss as well, Trevor Hemmings, is he very much on course to win his third Scottish Grand National on Saturday?
Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? He'll obviously have to improve on his form through the winter, but he can be forgiven that because he doesn't really like soft ground, and even though he's ran well not once at Cheltenham, it's usually put fair to his chances. You know, soft heavy ground isn't for him. You know.
Michael, Jim McGrath here. What's your understanding of what the ground is likely to be at Ayr on Saturday?
Well, they're saying good to soft, Jim, at the minute, but you know that place, it can really dry up fast, and it's supposed to be a bit goodish day today, but I don't think it's as good as it is down south, and it was clouded over this morning, but we'd hope it'd dry up enough for him, you know. I mean, he doesn't want firm ground, but just if it was just nice ground, it was good to soft, it'd be fine, it'd be quicker, it'd help. And just fingers crossed that it does hold up for him, because other than that, if it does dry up for him, other than that, there's not a lot for him, you know.
And you mentioned there, obviously, with what we've seen with him throughout the winter, I suppose a huge plus and a huge advantage is that, you know, he really comes to life at Ayr, and, you know, the penny drops and he gets the job done.
Yeah, well, I mean, his form going into last year's race wouldn't have been wonderful. He was well beaten at Haydock and on soft ground. He actually ran all right last year in the Welsh National on, well, you know, Chepstow ground is like a Christmas, but he can cope with it sometimes, but it's not for him, you know. And his form going into the race last year wasn't good enough to win the race. The thing about him is he jumps much better on good ground, you know.
And you also have Vintage Clouds in the race as well, trained at Bingley in West Yorkshire by Sue Smith. Now, he's only won once over fence. I believe that was at Aintree last year. Was that the old Roman Chase meeting, Michael?
That was right, yeah. That's they just took out a lot of fences, and he absolutely trotted up that day. But to be fair to him, as a novice, we asked him a lot of serious questions. He took on a couple of better horses than him in novice chases, and he was second, ran creditably. Then we ran him in a Peter Marsh chase, and we ran him at Cheltenham, we ran him in the National Trial, and then we ran him in the Scottish National last year. So he was asked a lot of big questions for a novice, and he acquitted himself very well, and he's actually improved this year. He gave himself a bit of confidence winning at Aintree. And he ran a good race in the Welsh National. He ran a good race at Cheltenham. You know, he's done well without. He's a little bit unlucky. He hasn't more races won. You know.
Would you be slightly concerned about the drying ground at all? His last four runs have all been on heavy. You mentioned the Ultima there, third behind Kustar Savola. So where the drying ground had been for Senti's favour, would it be a slight concern for Vintage Clouds?
Not really, I think. As long as he didn't get fast. Go to soft, it'd be fine for him as well. A lot of people think, well, because they ran well once or twice on heavy ground, that they need it. He doesn't. He's a little bit... Manny Clouds was the same. everybody thought he was a mudlark for a long time. And actually, when they get a bit of good ground, they can cope with it as well. I wouldn't be too bothered about it now, to be honest. And might help his jumping a little bit.
And have you spoken to both Paul and Sue, are both horses well since the runs at Cheltenham?
Yeah, both horses are fine, yeah. Both horses would have ran last weekend if Vintage Clouds would have ran if he got in, and Vicente would have ran if we hadn't had the rain, if it had dried up at entry. You all know the boss man likes to entry National a lot, and they'd have took their chance if they'd got in there. They were both happy with their horses, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Michael, thank you so much for your time here on the show, and of course wish you all the luck, and for your boss as well, for Trevor, with Vintage Clouds, and also at Vicente as well. Hopefully Vicente can win it for the third consecutive year. The best of luck.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. That was Michael Meir, the racing manager.
You're a romantic,
Trevor,
really, aren't you?
I am romantic.
Yeah.
Interesting what he had to say, though. You know, I think it's very interesting. I suppose the big question is, Jim, you know, can he win it for a third consecutive year?
Well, I think, yeah, he can, because a lot of horses stay 3-3-2, but not many horses improve for going 4 miles, and he is one of those. He's demonstrated that, and he made an interesting point about the ground. Yeah, the horse has got some form on really soft ground, but he's also got one or two really indifferent jumping performances. And you know, if a horse slips once or twice going into a fence, people don't realise you until you're associated with horses. You almost think they're chess pieces. They slip once or twice and hit a fence. A lot of them, you lose a bit of confidence. So it looks like, as Era hinting, the ground will be on the easy side, but it won't be what we've had throughout the winter. And obviously he needs to improve because he's higher in the weights than he was last year, but it's a possibility that he could do it. Yeah.
And for Vintage Cloud, he said he's a better horse this year. You know, he's not quite had the campaign which he had for last season. And let's be honest, he were cracking third last time out at Cheltenham in the Ultima, bit behind Kustar Savola. And that was actually the best the North did this year, the third in the Ultima.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of a handful of horses who ran stormers in the race last year. Let's not forget that the ground maybe was too quick for him last year. It was the end of the season. Mm. And he still finished seventh. And five of the first seven home, including the first four and him, are in the lineup once again. So it's as you'd expect, for the money, it's a cracking renewal. Vicente and Vintage Clouds have good chances in a very open race.
Any other horse we need to mention in this year's Scottish Grand National? Are they the ones you're tipping later on in the show at all? Or?
Well, you'll have to wait and see, Bobby. I mean, Nigel Twiston Davis has obviously got a strong hand. He's a trainer with a good history in the race. And, you know, he's got the likes of Ben Benz and Bally Optic, who should, you know, in theory, and Cogri as well, they're horses that two of them are suited to the track. One is a promising novice, Bally Optic, who was fourth to Presenting Purse. You have to respect those. There's Alvarado, who's almost as old as you. He's 13. He's running four Grand Nationals, two Scottish and two Aintree, and he's made the frame every time. So he's a horse, even though he's 13, you have to respect that he's in there. And then Nicky Henderson has a couple of decent chances as well, in Gold Present and Beware the Bear. So there are plenty in with a shout, but I'll tell you what I'm going for later on in the show.
I was just going to say to you there, I'm quite intrigued to see who you're going to tip up for this year's Scottish Grand National. Right then, from Jumps Racing on to Flat Racing, the show this evening is coming live from Newmarket. And earlier on today, myself and Jim caught up with Kevin Ryan, who's got numerous runners across the cards on Saturday, but in particular in the Scottish Champion Hurdle, he has got a horse called Beyond the Clouds. Myself and Jim spoke to him earlier, and here's what he had to say. So delighted now to be joined by Kevin Ryan here at HQ. Kevin, how are you? Keeping well?
Yeah, all's good. It's good to get going. It's nice to be here, good racing, and the season starts here, really.
And it's a very busy time of the year. You know, the season starts here, as you just mentioned. Flat, well underway. We've got Breeze Up sales happening too. Runners all over the place for yourself. But over the years, you have trained a few jumpers. You've got a jumper running on Saturday in the Scottish Champion Hurdle, Beyond the Clouds. Is he the best hurdler since Grel Marno that won the John Smith Hurdle back at Wetherby in 2003, I believe?
Yeah, he's, you know, we don't really have many jumpers, and it's this horse, he was sort of a late maturing horse, so we decided to go down the bumper route, and then you know, he over hurdles, we schooled him and he was so good over a hurdle. Now he will go on the flat after Saturday. Brian Hughes, he's a great friend of mine. Brian rides out for me a lot in the summer and rides work for me, and it's nice to have the odd jumper, you know, for Brian, really, you know.
You just mentioned he's going to have a campaign on the flat. Any particular races that spring to mind where we may see him run throughout the season?
Well, it's one of those, like, I'd hope he'd be an Eber horse, you know. I suppose I'm no expert, but if you work back off his jump rating, he's probably going to, at the moment, you'd imagine he'd be in a 100 rated flat horse. So that'd be sort of the route we'd be wanting to take with him, you know. And as we all know, the Eber now is going to be a race that's going to be targeted by a lot of people over the next few years, you know, with the prize money's on offer and everything. But listen, we'll see what happens Saturday first. He probably needs a little bit of a holiday. If he came out of the race well, I'll probably run him fairly quickly on the flat to get his mark, really, you know. So we'll see what happens Saturday.
And last time out at Musselburgh on Cheltenham Trials Day, he won one of those trials, but he opted it not to go to Cheltenham. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, he does want good ground, if not faster. And it nearly got him beat last day, the ground. We always plan to miss Cheltenham and maybe go to Aintree. And then Brian mentioned the air race, and it made sense to me. They've all been to Aintree and Cheltenham, and let's keep them fresh, and as well as having the flat in mind as well, you know. That was always in the back of my mind. I didn't really want to bottom the horse, so hopefully the plan works out.
And going into the race as well, how has he been since that win up at Musselburgh?
He's been great. He's had a little bit of a break, freshened him up, and he's blossomed. He's come in his coat, and you know, Brian schooled him yesterday morning, and he texted me and said he feels great. So, you know, Brian Hughes is no mug. He knows what he's sat on.
And Kevin, you've got plenty of runners at the weekend. As you said earlier, it's a really busy time of year. Flat really means a roll now. You run four horses at Thirsk, including a two-year-old with an interesting pedigree on Saturday.
Yeah, he goes really well. He's sort of a real willing horse and looks pretty sharp. I ran a two-year-old down here that ran well for a long way, just hated the ground. So on a par with him, you'd expect him to run really well.
And finally, Kevin, we interviewed a couple of weeks ago a really promising young lady and a very composed woman for her age, Nicola Curry. You've already had a champion daughter, because Amy was champion apprentice on the flat. Nicola seems to be doing really well and impressing a lot of trainers.
Yeah, I'm extremely impressed with her. She's, you know, a lot of jockeys, and especially apprentices, they walk out in the paddock and get on the horse and you nearly have to write down the instructions for them. But Nicola, she does her homework. She knows what them horses have done previously. So very level-headed, very good rider, and you know, even without a claim, she'll hold her own.
Well, thanks for talking to us, and good luck at the weekend. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Kevin Ryan talking to myself and Jim earlier on. Just to mention, the name of the horse which runs at Thirsk on Saturday is the Great Air. So look out for that one running on Saturday at Thirsk, Jim.
That was a broadcasting clanger on my part, Bobby. I should have mentioned the name, and I don't know why I didn't. By a first season sire called Pedro the Great. And Kevin didn't say it would definitely win, but he likes it, and it's shown plenty at home, and he hopes it'll run a decent first race. He's got quite a few interesting runners at the weekend, so keep an eye open for them.
And he mentioned, of course, Beyond the Clouds, who runs on Saturday in the Scottish Champion Hurdle, the Grade 2 contest. Of course, we compare him to Graalmarno. You know, Graalmarno won a big race for him at Wetherby, as he already mentioned. And it's interesting as well, you know, the campaign they're going to go with him. He mentioned the Ebor possibly. And we think that's for next season, though, don't we?
Yes, I think he said the horse will have a summer break after this race at Ayr at the weekend. But as he said, you know, a horse with that ability over hurdles, working backwards, taking about £35 off its jump rating, you come up with a rough calculation that if all goes well, he'll be about 100, and he is an interesting horse to go to the flat with. But of course, we spoke to Kevin at the start of the day. Now you take up the story. We've been down here at Newmarket earlier on. What went on after that, Bobby?
Well, his stable star, Brando, won the Group 3 again, just like he did 12 months ago. Not forgetting as well, he's a Group 1 winner last year. He won the big race over in France, beating Caravaggio. And another great stat for Kevin Ryan as well. He has won 4 of the last 5 renewals of this Group 3 race. So definitely look
at the Abernant Stakes, it was called the Abernant Stakes, the one we had today, yeah.
And Brando won it for a second year, and earlier on I spoke to a delighted Tom Eaves. So this afternoon then here at HQ, I'm delighted to be joined by Tom Eaves, who's just steered Brando to victory again in the in one of the Group 3 contests this afternoon, just like he did 12 months ago. Tom, described the race to us.
Yeah, it worked out grand. I was very happy that the ground had dried up. We were a bit concerned there might not be a lot of pace on, but he's got a great turn of foot, and I was impressed with him today. Yeah.
In terms of the horses you've ridden over the years, how does Brando compare?
Yeah, he's top of the list. I was lucky enough to ride a Group 1 winner on Tangerine Trees years ago, but Brando's the best horse I've ridden, and hopefully he's not finished yet.
And just going back to last season as well, in that Primo de Guise over in France, the Group 1 on the day, you know to beat Caravaggio, you know the hype was all about Caravaggio, but your lad did the job.
He did the job, and he did it in good style. So hopefully we're starting off where we did last year, so hopefully we can have a good year.
I always say hopefully more Group 1s on the card this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you need luck on your side, but we wouldn't be swapping him now.
And the smile on your face says it all as well.
Yeah, he's a horse of a lifetime, and it's nice to have him back.
Would it be good to see him at Royal Ascot this year?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the connections will map it out, ground dependent and everything else, and he'll only go if he's right, you know, so wherever he may be.
And just a quick word as well, Tom, just slightly away from horse racing, I know you're a Wigan fan. You know, if we turn our attention to football, at Wigan, currently top of League One at the moment.
Yeah, very well, yeah, make all the family at home very happy, so onwards and upwards.
Hopefully go up as champions.
Aye, hopefully.
Tom, thank you for your time, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
He's a top lad, him, Tom Eaves. You know what the lads in the weighing room call him, don't you?
No.
Well, early on in his career, he sort of chased rides all the time. He's known as Tom Fees in there. considering he comes from the Red Rose County, he's not a bad bloke at all. And Brando, incidentally, we should point out to some of the listeners, they won't have known unless they got the sort of trade paper, the likes of the Racing Post. That was his first run today following a breathing operation, breathing operation at the end of last season. And he looks as good as ever. And you said, Royal Ascot, what do you think? And I'd say, I suppose you could go in either the King's Stand or the Diamond Jubilee. My gut feeling is that if they ran him there, and I don't see why they wouldn't if the ground was right, it'll be Diamond Jubilee.
Yeah, I'd echo that as well. Diamond Jubilee run on the Saturday of the Royal Meeting. Great to see Brando back in the winner's enclosure, and hopefully he'll win more group races along the way as well. Now, obviously, this afternoon, the big race of the day, or the big race of the entire festival over the last 3 days was the Craven, and the odds on favour. Roaring Lion, who prior to today was seen finishing second behind Saxon Warrior in the Racing Post Trophy at Doncaster. He went off the odds on favour. However, Jim, he was no match for Massar this afternoon, who was very, very impressive. He's got some engine, hasn't he?
Well, the Godolphin team have had an absolutely storming week with half a dozen winners at the Craven, and Massar was massively impressive. You have to say that Roaring Lion was a tame kitten this afternoon. You know, he didn't really fire at all. Why are we saying that? Not just because he got beaten, he couldn't beat White Hold Off White Mocker for second place, so he clearly wasn't at his best. You wouldn't write him off on the basis of one run, but with the guineas just a couple of weeks away, it was disappointing. Was Massar is the substance of the form there? It's possibly not quite as strong as it looks, because he got what we call a soft lead in racing. Nothing took him on early and he quickened from the front, but he was very impressive and he galloped out to the line, and it's 15 years since a horse last won the Craven and then went on to take the guineas, and that was halved. Can Massar do it? I think the answer to that question is yes, he can. Will he? I've just got that nagging doubt that the form might not be all it looks. So would I have a bet yet? No, I'd wait till nearer the time, and hopefully on the Thursday before the Guineas, you and I can sort of nail it down a bit further. But he was impressive, and the bookmakers were impressed.
Just looking ahead to the rest of the season as well, Jim, is he potentially a Derby contender? Is Sire won the Derby back in 2008. Do you think this horse can go on and be a Derby candidate?
Well, further back in his pedigree, I mean, we waffle on a lot about pedigrees in racing because we have to, because for a horse to be a registered thoroughbred, it has to have a minimum of 8 registered generations of pedigree, and that's why we can work them out some of the time. They confound us a lot of the time, but some of the time we can, and it's because their pedigrees are a strong indication of how far they'll go. Now, if I said to you that Massar on the mother's side, the female side, you've already said he's by a Derby winner, is from the family of Galileo and See the Stars. So, you know, the third generation back, all those good horses are in there. So he's definitely going to get a mile and a quarter, and he's in the Dante at York, at the York May meeting. And as you say, he could be a Derby horse, but he'll definitely have a go at the Guineas after that.
Yeah, very much agree. A very impressive performance from Massar here this afternoon. So congratulations, as Jim said as well, Godolphin's had a great week here. But just to confirm, the winner of the Craven is Massar, trained by Charlie Appleby and ridden by William Buick, who's also had a really good festival as well. Now then, earlier on the card, Richard Fahey, he was on the score sheet this afternoon. I caught up with Richard, and he also previewed his runners on Saturday at Newbury. Also, here's what Richard had to say to me earlier on today. So I'm delighted now to be joined by Richard Fahey. Richard, it's been a good couple of days here at HQ for you.
Yeah, it's a very tough meeting to get winners at, and to get two was fantastic, you know, so I'm delighted.
Looking ahead to Newbury on Saturday as well, some interesting runners for you. You've got Dancer Diva running in the Fred Dolly, not been seen since October last year. Has she worked well over the winter?
Yeah, she's done real well. We're very happy with her. She's been working fine. She's got a bit to find with sort of 3 or 4 other fillies, but she ran well early season last year, so I'm hoping that'll help her, you know.
I suppose the advantage you might have with her is that if there is that little bit of juice in the ground, you know, she's a Mason offspring, which would be a huge bonus for her.
Well, to be honest, we keep discussing Masons. Everybody thinks just because he won a July Cup that they all want soft ground. They don't. I mean, that last filly there, she'd go on fast ground, and Dan Stever won on quick ground, but it won't bother her. She has won on slow ground, so it won't hindrance her anyway.
And just quickly, Richard, in the Spring Cup, you've got third time looking Gabriel. Both horses know how to win big handicaps. Gabriel in the past has won the Lincoln, and third time lucky won the Cambridgeshire here.
Yeah, I mean, third time lucky, he's a bit disappointed in the Irish Lincoln, but he was drawn in the car park, and we went forward and he walked home. But I think he's got a great draw there tomorrow. It was a very competitive race. Gabriel's Gabriel on his day, he is capable. I thought he ran very well in the Lincoln, so we'll just see what happens, you know.
And just very quickly, you've got a fair few runners on Saturdays where you got runners at Nottingham and Thurskate, etc. Anything in particular we need to be looking out for?
There's quite a few, really. Probably the horse that was third in the Brocklesby. He hasn't a great draw, but he'll take a bit of beating at Thursk.
Richard, thank you very much for your
Cheers.
Time.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Yeah, welcome back to HQ, where Richard Fahey speaking to me earlier on. He's won this afternoon with May Bride, and he also was victorious yesterday with Forest Ranger as well. And he's also got quite a few runners running on Saturday at Newbury. He mentioned Dan Stever, that goes in the Fred Darling, and then he's got two in the Spring Cup. He's got third time lucky, and Gabriel as well. Jim, Richard Fahey, it's good to see him on the score sheet a couple of times here this week.
Move on. I wrapped my own knuckles early. I'm going to wrap yours now.
Go on.
He told you the horse that finished third in the Brocklesby.
Yes.
Have you told the listeners its name?
No. I was waiting for you.
Yeah. Well, I can do the interview. And the horse is called? Wasn't expecting that.
Wasn't expecting that.
So, no, Richard's made a great start. And, Bobby, you know, we've obviously covered, we started this towards the end of the jump season four or 5 weeks ago. What's different, you and I have noticed straight away, is we come down to a big meeting in the South, and the North are competitive. Yeah. Maybe not in all the Group 1s, but at every other level. You know, Richard Fahey, Kevin Ryan, there'll be others as the weeks go on as well. Strong stables from the North can come down and play a part. Yet over jumping, we're struggling all the time.
No, I very much agree, and we looked at the stats earlier on. We were talking about the Cheltenham Festival and also Aintree as well, and we drew a blank at both this year. We drew a blank at Cheltenham.
We didn't have many runners either.
No, but what we were sending down, you know, we were sending definitely Red down, we were sending Sam Spinner, you know, and we drew a blank at Cheltenham. The last Northern winner was actually 2014, and that was Hawkeye and the Fred Winter for Tim Easterby, and also... Brian Hughes, and his last Grade 1 winner at the festival was Brindsey Breeze, I beg your pardon, for Lucinda Russell and the late Campbell Gillies as well. That won a Grade 1 back in 2012. On a more positive note, a more positive spin, you know, the North have done well over the past 3 days here at HQ. Right, it's almost the end of the show. However, Jim McGrath's fine form of tipping hopefully will continue.
It was a fine form last week. They were lapped.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But you've got to be honest about this.
Well,
things.
Yeah, but the week before you tipped Mendelssohn at a bit of a price before he got backed into favouritism. Before what about 5-2 when you tipped him up?
Let's move on, Bob.
Let's hope
we can have something that'll make the news this week.
This is what the listeners want. So for people listening now, Jim McGrath is going to give us some winning tips. A big build up this, Jim. It's a massive build. Roger behind us is laughing his head off here the way I'm building him up. He's head. So
why
we'll
did I say
everybody
I'd
else.
Work with this man?
Right then, Jim, what's your tips for the weekend's action?
Well, Rafe Beckett has made a fantastic start to the season, and you're going to have to wait a few minutes for what I think is the best bet. A few hours for what I think is the best bet on Saturday. But we'll go for the rearranged further flight stakes at Nottingham, the 6:45 race, number 10, Mount Moriah. Very progressive horse last year. Everything's right for it. I'm taking on trust, I think reasonably, that Rafe's horses are in keeping with other Rafe's horses at the minute. He'll be in good form, and if he is, he's got a big chance of winning that. In the Scottish National, obviously a hard race, but if you want something that should give you a run for your money, I'm going for Beware the Bear. Now, they've got to go around three circuits at Ayr, so for two of them, this will be right out the back, and you'll probably be calling me a few names. But if he runs like he usually does, when he finally shifts a leg or shakes a leg and gets into gear, hopefully he'll come home well. So Beware the Bear and Scottish National each way.
Brilliant. Jim, as always, thank you very much for your tips and joining me here on the show. And just before we go as well, I'd just like to thank all our guests for joining us on tonight's show. Thank you to Michael Meir, Kevin Ryan, Tom Eaves and Richard Fahey too. Right then, from
how much cake have you had today?
I've had two slices.
Two slices?
I had two.
It was more like two cakes.
No. I know. I tell you what, though, I had to resist the walnut cake because they brought chocolate cake out, didn't they? And Victoria's sponge.
Well, nobody could get any of those because you washed them.
Is that why they brought the walnut cake out?
Because you eat most of the others.
Brilliant stuff, yeah. I've got a horrible sweet tooth and I do enjoy my cake, as everybody knows in the press room as well. I always eat yours when you're not here, don't I?
You do, yeah.
But I'm honest and I do tell you I've eaten your cake this week.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Right then, thank you everybody for tuning in again to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath. We've been live here at Newmarket, a sun-drenched Newmarket as well. The weather this afternoon has been absolutely glorious. Do enjoy the weekend's racing too. And next Thursday, myself and Jim are going to be not sweating like we are today because the sun is shining on us. It's really, really hot here. Next week, next Thursday, we are going to be back in the studios in a lovely air-conditioned studios. Hopefully the nice weather outside, but we'll be keeping cool in the studio, Jim.
We're looking forward to it. And of course, it's Ponty on Monday. They lost their starters of the season, so I'm looking forward to going there. It's one of my favourite tracks.
Yeah, we'll go and see Uncle Norman, as we call
him. Uncle Norman, yeah.
Uncle Norman, legend and a gentleman, I call him. Right then, from here at Newmarket, thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week, but from myself and Jim, it's goodbye for now.